Welcome to God and Country Radio. Prime discusses current political, social, economic, and prophetic events on live scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The big talk on the news is AI and ChatGPT. As one CEO of a UK technology company quibbed, AI is essentially all I'm thinking about these days. And business leaders are talking about AI, speculating that it'll be the next big thing, like the PC or the cell phone or the smartphone or Google or Amazon. They want to get in on the ground floor and figure out how they can use this technology to make money and grow their business. I suspect that they're going to be disappointed. ChatGPT is not what the media is making it out to be, but we'll get to that later. First, what is ChatGPT and AI? ChatGPT is simply a computer program that compiles information from the internet in a way that mimics human writing. What impresses people is that ChatGPT is able to write papers and poems and songs, news articles, term papers. It was able to pass the lawyer's bar exam. And writers can have ChatGPT write an article that they can work off of. All they have to do then is to add their own edits and additional information. GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. It was created by a nonprofit company called OpenAI, a San Francisco-based AI company, which is now owned by Microsoft. Here's an article from Forbes magazine back in January. Microsoft confirms its $10 billion investment in ChatGPT, changing how Microsoft competes with Google, Apple, and other tech giants. So bear in mind that ChatGPT is just one of Microsoft's AI programs, and Google and Apple and Nvidia and Amazon also have their own versions of AI software, such as PAL-M or Megatron, Titan, or Chinchilla. So here's how ChatGPT works. It's all based on statistics. There's actually no intelligence in the program. It simply turns words into sets of numbers. It goes out onto the web and creates databases, huge databases, to determine which words statistically should go together in a sentence. Our phones already do this in a small way. When our phones supply for us, the next word you'll probably be typing in. And very often the phone is correct. I may type in pick up an apple, and the word pie is offered to me at the bottom of my screen. Because statistically, that's usually what follows the word apple when preceded by the verb to pick up. And these statistical probabilities work surprisingly well in determining sentences. Now, there were earlier versions of ChatGPT that didn't work so well. But what makes Generative Pre-training Transformer version 4 so unique is that it's able to work with an incredibly large amount of information. GPT is called a large language model. It goes out into the internet and categorizes and gives statistical values to virtually everything written on the internet. And this is called the program training process. Here's an interesting piece. To train ChatGPT version 3, it used 1.3 gigawatt hours of electricity, enough power to power 120 homes in America for a year. And it cost OpenAI $4.6 million. ChatGPT version 4 is able to take in much more information and cost OpenAI about $100 million to train. The difference by having more information statistically categorized is that ChatGPT version 3 failed the lawyer's bar exam, but ChatGPT 4 passed it in the 90th percentile. But here we need to keep in mind that this is not intelligence. This is artificial intelligence, and the word artificial means exactly what it is. It's fake. It's not real. The program is not thinking. It's only repeating what it finds on the internet, the facts, and the typical syntax of sentences. So in that sense, it's actually plagiarizing and failing to footnote. Remember back in high school when you had to write those English papers? Even when you paraphrase, put into your own words what is said in a book or an article, it's supposed to be footnoted. A piece written by ChatGPT should have a footnote for every sentence, but it doesn't. Prime example, ChatGPT can create large pictures, but it's not really creating pictures, it's stealing and piecing together images from off the internet. The big photo company Getty Images is in a lawsuit against one AI company for stealing its images. So just keep in mind that AI, ChatGPT, is not real intelligence. It's really just plagiarism. But it's so sophisticated that it fools people into thinking it's intelligence. Here's an article from Nature. Why general artificial intelligence will not be realized. And the bottom line in the article is that we're getting no closer to creating intelligence, but we're getting better at faking it. And that's the point. AI is a lie that fools people. Just like those animatronic statues at Disney, it looks like Abraham or George Washington is actually there and talking, but it's an imitation. It's a fake. It's interesting that ChatGPT is based upon statistics and probability, and it's statistics that have always fooled people. Kind of like in the lottery, people just don't understand a 1 in a million probability, and so they play the lottery thinking that they're going to win. Or they think that if a coin is flipped 4 times and lands heads up, there must be a greater probability that the next time it's flipped, it will land tails up. When in fact, the past has no effect on the future, there's still only a 50% probability of heads versus tail. You see, I probably have already got you confused. Mark Twain said that there are 3 kinds of lies. Black lies, white lies, and statistics. So isn't it interesting that statistical probability is behind fooling people into thinking a computer has intelligence? So there have been many articles written about the harm or the dangers of AI. And it's really the low information voter who thinks that the danger might be computers taking over the world. You know, like Cyberdyne Systems and the Terminator, or Vicky in that movie I, Robot. But that's not the real danger. The danger is in people being fooled into looking to and trusting AI. Reporters today already make the claim that experts say or studies show to add authority to their article. But who are the they and who are the experts? We can imagine a day when people will say, well, ChatGPT says, and people will begin to attribute to AI some authority or wisdom. That ChatGPT is the composite wisdom of humanity. Journalists are already not getting out of the office, but relying on the internet to write their stories. You know, even big media outlets will make their major story what happens to be trending on Twitter. Or they'll give the opinion of trolls on Twitter a lot of weight. We've all read articles that state Twitter exploded today with such and such an opinion. And the opinion is simply that of a few trolls. Usually the writer is simply trying to find some outrage that agrees with the leftist ideology he's trying to push. So this deception of AI can clearly be seen in all of the media hype that we've been reading over the last month about AI. Quote, ChatGPT embodies more knowledge than any human has ever known. Quote, artificial intelligence will change the world. Quote, those who interact with AI describe their experience in near spiritual terms. Quote, it's a feeling of magic. It can perform tasks that have been exclusively in the domain of human intelligence. Quote, it'll improve everything in life from medicine to law to government. It may even find the cure to cancer. And this, Lee Sedol, one of the world's best players of Go, an ancient Chinese board game, retired from the game after Google's neutral net-based AlphaGo software crushed him in 2016. Sedol said, even if I become number one, there is an entity that cannot be defeated. Now, realize when you read this stuff, it's all media hype to get clicks on the article, to get you all worked up. And in addition, ChatGPT is a product produced by Microsoft. And companies pay PR firms to write articles and send them out to journalists to get a buzz going about their product and their stock. And media outlets, who have to put out dozens of articles every day, are more than happy to simply repeat what is sent to them. So let's not be fooled. The hype about ChatGPT is about getting investors to invest in and pump up the stock price of AI products. Now, there is a biblical lesson in all this, and it's actually quite prophetic. Because what the scripture tells us is that at the end of this age, the world will be deceived by lies. Big ideological lies, disinformation coming from powerful institutions, the media, the government. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, a deluding influence will fall upon the world so that the people will believe what is false. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. And the people of this world will adore and worship this center of power. Revelation 13:4, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Revelation 13:13, and he performs great signs. Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which was given to him to perform. And an image of the beast is made. Breath or life is given to the image of the beast. The beast refers both to the empire of man and the Antichrist himself. The image of the beast is this Greek word icon, something that represents the beast or mankind. But this is an image that appears to come to life and speak. And it's this icon of man, the beast, that causes the church to be persecuted. And that is the essence of what's being said in Revelation 13:15. The image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the icon of the beast to be killed. And this icon also gives everyone a number and controls who can buy and sell. Will technology play a role in this? Seems likely. Because the technology is man himself. AI and the information on the internet is simply the sum total of human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever that God sets aside. ChatGPT is regurgitating everything that's on the internet. It's really 1 John 4, verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. It's the world. The internet is the sum total of man. All of the content and all of the emphasis reflects and mirrors the mind of man. So as I said earlier, that ChatGPT, in its training process, crawls through the internet and categorizes and gives statistical value to everything written on the net. Well, not really everything. Programmers found that there's a lot of junk script on the internet. So programmers have had to limit and target what content ChatGPT takes from the internet. So keep this in mind, because the programmers can manipulate what information ChatGPT or any AI program will look at. And it makes a big difference whether ChatGPT is getting information from CNN or an article from some conservative site. We already know that Google uses their algorithms, which is essentially AI, to prioritize left-leaning news outlets. If you do a search on a particular topic, Fox News will never be at the top of the list. Always on the top is the New York Times, CNN, and MSNBC. So don't imagine that AI is unbiased. It only puts out the information the programmers put in. And as AI develops, increasingly, just like on social media today, the pressure from political ideologues and government disinformation agencies will be to censor certain information and sites. Here's a prime example. A ChatGPT researcher asked Chat to write a piece about Al Gore's father. Al Gore Sr. was a Democrat senator from Tennessee, and he was vehemently opposed to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. He was a segregationist. But ChatGPT came back and said, quote, "During his time in the Senate, Al Gore Sr. was a vocal supporter of the civil rights legislation and was one of the few Southern politicians to vote in favor of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Yet, Al Gore Sr. was not a civil rights pioneer. He did not vote for the Civil Rights Act, and he was a leading segregationist. So why would ChatGPT lie about Al Gore Sr.? Why would it put a positive spin on the history of the Democrat Party? I mean, it's not as if ChatGPT is a registered Democrat or as if a computer has an ideological agenda. Well, a number of years ago, Al Gore Sr.'s son, Vice President Al Gore, gave a speech about his father. And in that speech, he said that during my father's time in the Senate, he was a vocal supporter of the civil rights legislation and was one of the few Southern politicians to vote in favor of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Al Gore lied. And all ChatGPT could do was grab that speech and repeat and reinforce the lie. And that's the danger of ChatGPT. It will only repeat and reinforce the totality of mankind's lies. And it can rewrite history and perpetuate political falsehood. But ChatGPT and AI is given great deference and authority because it's technology. Hey, it must be true because it's on the internet. Just imagine what ChatGPT would write about the COVID-19 pandemic if it was directed towards certain pro-government and pro-big pharma sites. So the fact that people lie and deceive and promote false, ungodly ideology on the internet is nothing new, but AI is able to reinforce the lie. And that's the danger. 3 weeks ago, Elon Musk sat down with Tucker Carlson for an interview about ChatGPT and AI. You know, most people who are up on the news have seen that interview. But what was interesting was that Elon Musk said that AI has a potential for good, but also has a great potential for evil. So therefore, AI should be regulated like we regulate food and drugs. But of course, that's problematic because when it comes to regulating ideas, is that really the job of the government? For the government to regulate AI would actually be the danger. The danger that Elon pointed out was, you know, as I said earlier, not that AI is going to take over the world and turn us all into batteries like in the movie The Matrix. The danger is the propaganda that AI can create, the way it can replicate public opinion, the way it can influence and convince people. And Elon Musk shared that he helped create the company OpenAI, but has since left the organization. But in the early days, he was working on this with Larry Page. who was the CEO of Google and is now the CEO of Google's parent company, Alphabet. And Elon Musk said that when he pointed out the dangers of AI to Larry Page, Page accused Elon Musk of being a speciesist. In other words, someone who favors the human species over other species, particularly AI. Well, that's an interesting accusation. But what's more interesting is that Larry Page told Elon that he wants to build a digital god. Well, what does he mean by that? He means an all-powerful, all-knowing machine that people will use, depend on, and ultimately venerate. Why build a digital god? Well, it gives the creators fame. It gives the creators power and control and money. You know, just like Google right now has a monopoly control over all of the searches on the internet. So that companies pay handsomely to have Google prioritize their products. So in this, we see much of the motivation behind this science. People really do want a digital god. Or rather, in spiritual terms, the emphasis is on looking to man for deliverance and salvation. Like Cain, we have gone out from the presence of the Lord and built our own city in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Salvation can only come by turning back to God for deliverance, turning back to God to find everything that man is seeking in his pride. In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a 1978-1980 novel, the peoples of the universe built a giant supercomputer. Quote, "The great supercomputer, Deep Thought, is the most powerful computer ever built, with one exception. It was designed by hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings who wanted to know the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Its creation annoyed a fair few philosophers who felt it was taking over their turf. Well, after working on the problem for 7.5 million years, the computer finally had the answer. And so all the representatives from the various planets gathered to hear the answer, and with every ear listening, the computer announced that the answer is 42. And all who were gathered were disappointed, to say the least. Now, the number 42 is an interesting mathematical number. It has certain properties, but it's not the answer to life. And that's the humor of the whole piece, that a digital machine cannot provide the real answers that we're looking for. But God, our creator, can. Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, he who spoke the worlds into existence in Genesis 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. Jesus Christ is who we need to look to for the answers, not a digital god. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? This is all I have time for. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended YouTube and Rumble video version of this program is at the channel God and Country Biblical Exposition. There I'll get into this whole issue of Babylon the Great, Genesis 11, and Revelation chapter 14, and how the end game is all about control. But all of those links are at the website, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, you, not men, are our rock and salvation. Deliver us by your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.